Hello, Year 11. This is just a little mini podcast to help you prepare for the Peace and Conflict Assessment, which will take place this Friday on the 16th of April. So remember, if you're S band, that'll be period 2, and if you're N band, that'll be period 3. Okay. So these little podcasts are quite often just a good little way to break up your revision. It can be quite tiring reading over notes and, you know, quizzing yourself. Hopefully, maybe one of the activities that you use at home is getting other people to quiz you using revision guides and all the materials we've supplied. But listening just to a little podcast can just help break that up. Go for a walk, get in, etc. So, 12 topics within peace and conflict, you will be asked questions on 5 of them. So even though the questions will be on 5 areas, due to the nature of the questions, you know, it does demand you to have that full understanding of the topic, and obviously some questions you're able to draw in previous learning. That's the whole point of being able to go through those 12 different sections. So number 1, biblical perspectives on violence and bullying. Okay, so some Christians believe that the earlier chapters of Genesis to be myths, but whether the stories are literally true or not, they do make important points about human nature and the result of turning against God. Okay, so we know that violence is a rejection of the ideals God wants for the world. So we know that as Catholic Christians that we do not use violence. Okay, Jesus taught us that the seeds of bitterness, anger and jealousy need to be controlled, as they may lead to violence and murder. And people need a deep feeling of well-being and inner calm. Okay, so just one example from the Old Testament, Cain and Abel, which actually demonstrate how thoughts can turn into action. So Cain was jealous of his brother Abel. God said to Cain, sin is lurking at the door, you must master it. So God giving him, if you like, that conscience really to be able to use to make the right decision and follow the right path. But he didn't. Cain's angry thoughts led to violence. Cain plotted to kill his brother out in the field, and Cain killed his brother. And God said to Cain, your brother's blood is crying out to me from the ground. Very clearly against, obviously, violence. Bullying, remember, is the deliberate intimidation of a person through words or physical actions. And as James says in the gospel, that words can destroy a person's self-esteem. So bullying can have long-lasting effects on the victim. Okay, so 12.2, forgiveness and reconciliation. Easy. This is, I would say, an aspect in terms of the source of authority. And I know you've got your little one-page overview, but that will help you potentially with lots of different questions, particularly 5 marker and 12 marker, because of the nature of some of the source. So forgiveness is showing grace and mercy and pardoning someone for what they've done wrong. So you might remember, certainly in my classes, I've taught you the SRFR rules. So you sin, you repent, you show sorrow, but you want to turn away from sin. You then seek forgiveness. And then when forgiveness has been granted, reconciliation takes place. So reconciliation is that restoring of harmony after relationships are broken down. Right, just bear with me if you can hear that bell. Hopefully you won't be able to hear the noise of the lunch queue. So just a couple of examples from the Bible. Jesus forgave Peter for denying him. And when Peter asked how many times he should forgive his brother, and Jesus said 70 times 7 times, meaning we should always forgive. You got the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors, etc. So going back to reconciliation, restoring of harmony after relationships are broken down, it will achieve a stronger relationship, an opportunity to live without fear, opportunities to learn from the past, a more peaceful future, appreciation and acceptance of one another. Okay, justice. Bringing about what is right and fair, bit of a crossover in terms of concept here with Kingdom of God. Some Christians believe that righteous anger, anger against injustice, can be effectively used to help create justice. It's really, really important. Justice is hugely important because the Catholic Church teaches that it is God's desire that everyone should be treated fairly. The Old Testament prophet Amos taught that creating justice is more important than ensuring that worship is done correctly. so important because injustice can cause people to lose their sense of self-worth, respect. It can deny people dignity because they're being treated unfairly. One good source of authority for this is in Amos, the book of Amos. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps, but let justice roll down like waters. Now, if you're thinking, oh, Mrs. D, I am not going to remember that scripture quote. Remember, you do not have to refer to word from word. You can paraphrase and just link to. So if you were to say something like, you know, in Amos, it teaches us, you know, that justice is something that we should preach and seek. Okay, because we should obviously achieve that righteousness, you would be fine. Right, righteous anger. Obviously, that is being angry with right reasons. Jesus drove the sellers from the temple. Violent protests. Are we for them or are we not? Well, we're not, because we're Catholic Christians and we're against violent protest. Okay. Most Catholics agree with the law that it's legitimate to protest peacefully and may protest against injustice. So you can protest, but non-violent protests. Okay. Many Christians believe violent protest is an ineffective and damaging way to create change. But. Some people think, you know what, violent protest in some circumstances, providing no people are harmed, can be useful because it helps raise that awareness, you know, like the suffragette movement, for example, in the early 20th century. You know, some people supported that as a violent protest, and obviously with the right outcome in terms of the votes being awarded, etc. Right, 12.4. Just war theory. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Little mnemonic here, clips. Just war is the criteria that a war needs to meet before it can be justified. Okay, if you remember that, superb. St. Augustine and St. Thomas Aquinas devised a set of conditions. So, clips is a mnemonic. C4, okay, it must be, you know, a reasonable chance of winning. Okay, so chance of winning. L, last resort, must be the last resort, everything else being tried. I, innocent civilian should not be attacked. P, proportional force should be used. Weapons should not be too destructive. S, for state, a legitimate authority or state must declare the just war. So if you remember that mnemonic, CLIPS, C-L-I-P-S, might help you. Contrasting views. Something, yes, it is good because, you know, it's, if war can be avoided by working together, including with the United Nations to avoid conflict, then if that's possible, then great. But actually, sometimes it's necessary in order to protect maybe a dictator, someone who is proving destructive and harmful in their reign. Okay, some people might think the just war theory is dangerous. It could be used to defend the concept of war. It's outdated and not relevant to 21st century warfare. Right, nuclear war, weapons of mass destruction. Okay, so think in your head before I speak. What are they? What are the different weapons of mass destruction? So, you've got chemical weapons, you've got biological weapons, you know, living in a nuclear age, if you like, means that, you know, there are, Pope John Paul II said that there can never be a just war, because whilst we're living in an age with nuclear war of weapons of mass destruction, just war isn't possible. Okay, so Catholic attitudes to nuclear war or weapons of mass destruction, absolutely 100% completely indiscriminate, have long-term effects, totally disproportionate. You know, as we've seen, the just war, it goes against that criteria. The possibility of success is small. The cost of research and building and maintaining these weapons is great, prevents governments from spending to improve people's lives, and possession of these weapons increases tensions and fear. Now, that last one is one reason why some people think, as a contrasting view, remember that command word contrasting, different, doesn't have to be opposite, that actually possession of nuclear war can be a deterrent, because it will deter another country from going to war. Okay. 12.6, consequences of modern warfare, civilian casualties. Before I say it, can you think of the other two? So you've got, remember, three key ones here. Civilian casualties are for refugee. Okay, excellent. Civilians forced to flee the fighting because of their homes being destroyed, because of their serious risk of death. Environmental damage. Okay. And you've got those three key ones there. So religion as a reason for violence and war. Think back to many, 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 many years ago, you know, aside from obviously more recent troubles in Northern Ireland, conflicts in the Middle East, you know, you've got the Crusades. So causes for the war, okay, include politics, religion, to gain land, to gain resources, self-defense, retaliation, economics. So holy war is fighting for a religious cause or God, probably controlled by a religious leader. Now, if we're using the Crusades as an example, the Crusade took place between the 11th and 15th centuries, fought by Christians who believed if they died in battle, they'd go straight to heaven, aimed to free Jerusalem and the Holy Land from the control of the Muslim Turks, and they were authorised by various popes who believed it to be God's will. So for Christians, holy war must be approved by a religious leader with great authority, should be to defend the Christian faith from attack. Okay, the concept of holy war does not feature in current Christian belief. That's really, really important. Okay, war and violence in the Old Testament, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, Exodus 21, which is a good contrasting source of authority. Pacifism. Okay, so early Christians were pacifists, refusing to take part in war or any form of violence. Okay, so Jesus taught us that it is much better to try and bring peace than to use violence. To turn the other cheek, from Matthew, Beatitudes, blessed are the peacemakers. Early Christians wouldn't fight, so Martin of Tours resigned from the army. A good example there of someone who refused. Martin Luther King refused to use violence. The Quakers, religious society of Friends, promote pacifism, acted as stretcher bearers in the First World War. Contrasting views towards pacifism. It is always wrong to fight, even in self-defence. Jesus taught peace is better than violence, and war never solves problems. But, contrasting, sometimes force is necessary to solve disputes, and it is the duty of a country to defend its people. A country that isn't prepared to fight is maybe seen as weak. So moving on from pacifism to the role of religion in conflicts in the 21st century. Okay, Catholic Church believes it's important to try to prevent war and victims of war. So very much about proactive. The Pope highlights each week the need to pray for peace as he addresses the crowds in Vatican Square. And Catholic ages such as CAFOD, Aid to the Church in Need and Caritas International help to support victims of war. Okay, so in 2013, Pope Francis urged people to pray for peace. 2014, organised a meeting of prayer between the presidents of Israel and Palestine. And 2014, even organised a football match in Rome's Olympic Stadium to raise funds for children in need, particularly those affected by war, including making sure that the team was actually a whole host of international players from different religious groups. Okay, so in terms of helping and religion responding to conflicts, you've got CAFOD, civil war in Sierra Leone, setting up orphanages. You've got Aid to the Church in Need. Civil war in Syria had caused thousands to flee. Others have lost their homes and needed shelter, which they supported with, and Caritas International. So provided food, water and shelter, and even when the aid workers were themselves in danger of being attacked. Terrorism, unlawful use of violence, usually against innocent civilians. Okay, in order to further their beliefs, some individuals or groups use a terror campaign with the aim of frightening people. That's the whole point, is to, you know, is to intimidate, create this fear, evoke this fear. Okay, contemporary Catholic teachings. Pope Francis said it's wrong to carry out acts of terrorism in the name of God. So examples of terrorism: Britain, you've got the IRA, detonated bombs in Warrington, 1993. We've used that exam in class. We've got Islamic extremists carrying out attacks in London. And some people believe terrorists are motivated by religion, and others say they have a distorted and accurate view of the world. 12.11, going on to torture, radicalisation and martyrdom. So, torture, severe physical and psychological pain to get information to prevent a greater wrong. Now, sometimes people would justify that. Not the Catholic Church, but sometimes they would, just in order if it was okay to prevent a terrorist attack, for example. Catholic Church, why is it against torture? It's illegal. It denies the victim the basic human rights. It views it as barbaric. It always sees it as inhuman and wrong. And international law does not allow it, even in war. Radicalisation, remember, is when one adopts extreme views. Radicalisation tends to take place among younger people who feel rejected by the society of religion. Martyrdom is used to describe Christians who have been persecuted and put to death, refusing to give up their beliefs. Okay. Christian martyrs follow the teaching example of Jesus. If anyone wants to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And last but not least, conflict resolution. Okay, so Catholic Church teaches that we all, you even you at your age, we all should be involved in peacemaking and conflict resolution. And we can even do that through prayer and together, even in assemblies, etc. Two key organisations, Pax Christi and Justice and Peace Commission, work with the Catholic Church to bring mutual respect, justice, reconciliation and peace. Okay. Biblical perspectives on conflict resolution. The Bible teaches that an end to war will be a sign of God's kingdom having come on earth. Catholic organisations working for peace. Catholics are encouraged to help with peacemaking within their family and the local community. Churchill also believes in working for peace on a global scale. Pax Christi works in over 50 countries and it aims to get involved at an early stage of conflict to encourage people in order to solve disputes peacefully and fairly rather than use violence. Okay, right, I'm going to stop there. It's just under 16 minutes. Now, if you haven't yet done so, I'd maybe have a go and do the 30 question quiz and show my homework that I've done. If you've got any questions following this, obviously, you know, you can go back, pause it and listen to the bits you need to. Please, please just email or drop me a note on show my homework. Okay, fantastic.